Legendary writer Joseph Mitchell chronicled the life of New York City's streets, bars, and tenements from the 1930s through the 1950s. Most of his work was first published in The New Yorker. Two collections of Mitchell's essays have just been reprinted. They are My Ears Are Bent and McSorley's Wonderful Saloon. Book critic Maureen Corrigan has these thoughts on reviewing Mitchell's writing.
The trouble with talking about Joseph Mitchell is that you sound like such an ass. Specifically, the very kind of nostalgic, superlative-spewing ass that Mitchell would have turned his back on in a crowded barroom. It's not just that unassuming populist prose style of his that makes fans like me go gaga. It's his whole keep-your-chin-up-though-the-chips-are-down worldview, a worldview that probably was shaped by the Depression, which is when he started writing about New York. Like that other great literary stroller of New York neighborhoods, Walt Whitman, Mitchell delighted in cataloging the human multiplicity of the city. He talked to bearded ladies and gypsies and con artists like Joe Gould and the Mohawk Indian construction workers who hung in the air to pound rivets into the Empire State Building and the George Washington Bridge. Mitchell calmly took note of all their eccentricities, failings, and triumphs. He didn't whitewash, but unless provoked, he usually didn't judge either. And unlike the generations of New Yorker writers who preceded and followed him, he was never cynical. I imagine that if there are such creatures as recording angels, their divine reports would sound a lot like Joseph Mitchell's essays. But there I go again, gushing, comparing Mitchell to an angel. There's been a Mitchell revival in recent years, and so consequently, two more collections of his essays have just been reprinted. My Ears Are Bent, a collection of his earliest pieces from his days as a reporter for the World Telegram, and McSorley's Wonderful Saloon, portraits of the city and its people that were published in The New Yorker. If you haven't read much of Mitchell, it's this second book that's a must, and the 1940 lead-off essay that's a standout among classics. At the time that Mitchell was describing McSorley's, then and now the oldest saloon in New York City, the bar was still lit with gas lamps, coins for ale were dropped in soup bowls rather than a cash register, and the clientele consisted of truck drivers from Wanamaker's, clerks from the secondhand bookstores north of Astor Place, and crusty old Irishmen who'd been drinking there since they were young. All changed, changed utterly. Mitchell says of the old Irishmen, "Some of them have tiny pensions and are alone in the world. They sleep in Bowery hotels and spend practically all their waking hours in McSorley's." A little farther on, he comments that they're insulated with ale against the dreadful loneliness of the old. Hear Mitchell's tone? It's neither pathetic, nor disapproving, nor, God forbid, coy. It's the voice of an adult with a gentle poetic bent, just stating the way things are. So drink up. Almost all of Mitchell's subjects, like those old barflies in McSorley's, like McSorley's itself, are holdovers from a vanished, perhaps never existent golden age in New York. But anyone who charges Mitchell with the venal sin of sentimentality needs to read a lesser-known 1940 essay in this collection called Santa Claus Smith. Smith, Mitchell tells us, was a white-bearded old man who wandered the United States during the Depression, bumming meals and shelter from big-hearted strangers. In return, Smith wrote them checks on the Irving National Bank of New York for amounts ranging from $90,000 to $600,000. He decorated his checks with a smile face. Mitchell learned all this by reading through the files of letters received by the Irving Bank from Smith's benefactors, many of whom hoped that the checks might be good. Throughout most of the essay, Mitchell regards Smith with amusement, as though with his phony checks, the old man might even be sending up capitalism. Then, in the last paragraph, Mitchell realizes that not everyone is in on the joke. Here's how he ends his essay. "For a day or so after I read the letters, I thought of Smith as a benevolent old screwball. Then I began to be troubled by the memory of those crude, grinning faces with which he decorated so many of the checks. I began to think of the vain hopes he raised in the breasts of the waitresses who had graciously given him hundreds of meals, and the truck drivers who had hauled him over 100 highways, and to feel about John S. Smith that there is something a little sinister." In addition to a sympathetic appreciation of human frailty, a good recording angel needs to have a cognizance of evil. Mitchell had both, and his writing had, still has, wings.
Maureen Corrigan teaches literature at Georgetown University. Joseph Mitchell's collection of essays, McSorley's Wonderful Saloon, has just been reprinted by Pantheon. I'm Terry Gross.